Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of David Cohen. We've just heard Letters from Joanne. David Cohen is our returning guest today on Crossover, and he is rather unique. He is a musician who has gone well beyond his role as an entertainer to become an active member of humanitarian causes that he believes in. Welcome to Crossover, David.
Thank you.
Returning as an artist and also as a person that does good works, and I have been so impressed with your work beyond your music that I thought it was really time for us to share it with the general public, because so much of your life is wrapped up in giving music back and supporting great causes. So let's start again. Now, you were on once before. You play many, many instruments, amongst which is the bagpipe.
Right.
So
right.
I remember that.
And I have a picture of you playing them in the studio when
I
was here.
Yes, you were. It's quite a few years ago now. And I think you were a rare bird, because people just don't play the bagpipe, or certainly they don't specialize in it anymore, other than those who are specific to the marching bands, I guess, for the celebration of Irish, events. But tell the audience a little bit about your background and how many instruments you play and how you got into that aspect of using the bagpipe.
Well, my background is I'm a classical guitarist, and I also play flamenco guitar. I still study the Chinese pipa. The Turkish oud not as much, but the bagpipes. And that's what I do for a living.
How did you get involved with the bagpipes, of all things?
I love the bagpipes. I always have. And when I was younger, even before I played the guitar, I thought bagpipes would be a cool instrument. You know, it was just great music. And I just never, it was, Jewish children don't grow up to be bagpipe players.
Well, I think a lot of people don't grow up to be bagpipe players. But you told me a fascinating story before we went on the air about the origin of the bagpipe, and it was it's in biblical times as well, isn't it?
It's in biblical times. It's been mentioned a few times in the Old Testament, and it's a very interesting history that when King David marched through the streets of Jerusalem, he was playing the bagpipes. That's one interpretation. And then another is, when Herod had built the golden calf and he wanted everybody to pray to it, he ordered the bagpipe players to start playing.
Was it a real bagpipe like we know?
No, it was a different one. It was an instrument that was made with the double reed, and that was made from the lining of an animal stomach.
Yes.
And that's where it's traced to the bagpipes. And it also starts on a drone. So when instruments start on drones, they're from the Middle East.
Yes, okay, I see. So that's really has quite a heritage. How did you start it? I mean, you just liked it, or it fascinated you, or
no,
what?
No. I've always loved it. And one day I woke up and said, why am I not playing the bagpipes? So I went over to the clubhouse for the pipes and drums of the Jersey Shore Shillelaghs in Belmar, New Jersey. Because over the years, I've always watched them at the parades, and they just seemed like a really, really great band.
Now, you're from North Jersey originally, or you?
I'm originally from Philadelphia. I traveled around the country. When I came back, I moved to the Monmouth County area, Asbury Park, Ocean Grove area. Then when I moved there, it was North Jersey. Then it became Central Jersey.
It's not South Jersey yet.
It's not South Jersey yet. And so I went in and they give lessons, and I went in and I said, "Do you teach Jews?" And they said, "We don't care what you are. All you have to do is, you know, love Irish music."
So you actually learned Irish music on that.
Right.
Now, do you play any Far Eastern or Greek or anything like that?
No. That's a different instrument, and the scale on the bagpipes really doesn't suit that. Even the Egyptian army plays, out of respect of the Irish for saving the bagpipes when the world was going through the Enlightenment period.
Mm.
It was the Irish that saved the bagpipes.
Really? How fascinating.
And out of respect to that, this is what I've read, that the Egyptian army still plays the bagpipes in their military, and they play Irish tunes on it.
So that they finger it. Well, actually, they have the drone, which is that thing that sounds underneath. But then they have like a clarinet kind of thing, or a flute kind of thing, where there are little holes.
Yeah, that's the chanter.
Okay.
And that's where you play the notes.
The melody.
From. Right,
yeah.
Right.
I see. So, and as far as reading music, do they have published music?
They have tons of published music, and it's very interesting that a friend pointed out to me, Charles Rutan, who's a really great bagpiper in Philadelphia. And what he pointed out was bagpipes are real interesting because while they are a folk instrument, there's still a very classical education to it.
Of course, it's like the Irish dancing is very
right.
Classical, yes.
Right.
David Cohen performing on the bagpipes, Highland Bagpipes. So so there you were with your bagpipe and your guitar. Now, the guitar, how did that start?
Well, the guitar, I mean, that looking back, I always liked the guitar, even when I didn't realize it. When I was younger, I remember seeing an advertisement. This was in the 70s, and it was a rock and roll magazine that was just for the Philadelphia area. And there was an ad in there that said, "Linda Cohen, classical guitarist," like performing someplace. No relation to me.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say the same last name.
Over the years, we became friends. Unfortunately, she passed away from brain cancer.
Oh, gosh.
But that captivated me, that title, classical guitarist. And I asked my brother, what's a classical guitarist? And he said, it's just some kind of guitar playing where you use your fingers a lot. And I had I had no clue.
That's fascinating. Well, yes.
And then I heard music. I heard a particular guitar player, and that made me want to learn the guitar.
Now, did you have your family, was there music in your?
No, there was no music in our family other than what my mother listened to. And when I think back to what she listened to, it was a lot of guitar oriented music. She loved the Mills Brothers. I love the Mills Brothers and Trenny Lopez.
Okay.
Just a lot of good guitar playing.
And a lot of rock, I suppose.
A lot of rock and roll, Chuck Berry.
Yeah. So you must have an ear, though. I mean, where did you study music now?
Well, my introduction to classical music came from a group called Renaissance, and they used a lot of classical melodies and classical orchestration in their music back before other people were doing it. And they had this great singer, Annie Haslam, who had a 5-octave range, and their music was very classical. To me, that's what classical music was. And plus this other guitar player, Joan Armatrading, that's what made me pick up the guitar. And I played one of her songs for somebody, and the guy said, "Wow, she plays just like a classical guitarist." So there's that word again, classical guitarist. And I wanted to just, that's what I wanted to do.
So what happened? Did you go searching for a teacher?
I didn't know that you went to school for music. Yes, so I went searching for music, and I went through a few teachers. Nobody was able to teach me like really what I wanted to know, even though, I mean, I didn't know anything, but I knew what they were showing me was not what I wanted. And I found the guy in South Philadelphia, Philip Romeo, and he was able to teach me, you know, like where I wanted to be on the guitar. And he's a great guitar player. He's actually the producer of my CD,
which I was going to talk about, because since you were last here, you have a CD. All of your efforts have a tinge of, there's a humanity, and I want to say the word sadness, because you really care about what's going on. And this disc is also a tribute, isn't it?
Right. There's a lot of sadness, but there's also beauty. The disc is not sad at all. People expect that. And there was a review on my CD that really summed it up great. And it was by Maria Corley, who's a classical pianist in Lancaster, who's brilliant. And she said that this is like my Taj Mahal
to my wife. Yes.
And she was expecting it to be mournful, but it wanted to make her dance. And ultimately, that's what life is. It's the beauty. So this is the CD. It's a memorial to my wife, who we lost to ovarian cancer 2 years ago. And it's music that you can dance to, because that's how she wants to be remembered.
In My Dreams We Fly, music by David Cohen from his newest album, David Cohen Guitar. So it says on it, David Cohen Guitar. There is no title?
Well, the title is David Cohen Guitar. I thought of a lot of different titles, but that just sums it up. It's just the guitar. A lot of people were expecting me to use all of my instruments, but that's going to be for my next CD that's in the works. This one is just me, and it was all of the pieces on the CD were written during the grieving period. So it was a very solitary time that using other instruments didn't really fit what the emotion is behind it.
But you wrote all of them.
I wrote all the pieces. Yeah. I used a kind of mathematical approach to it. I was dealing with grieving, as I said, and I thought that when we hear music, our brain interprets the tones mathematically. And that's how our brain understands sound, through the mathematics of the vibrations. So
yes. Mm-hmm.
If our brain understands sound that way, is emotion mathematical? And could our emotions be reduced to mathematics? And I'm not trying to be philosophical or sound like I'm some kind of genius, but all of this stuff on this came from an emotion I was having, and I would figure it out in sound, and it would be one chord. And then from that chord, I'd build the pieces around the chord, and they all had to resolve the emotion that I was feeling.
it was an outlet for you, and of course, at a very, very difficult time. And I think that's the way a lot of music is written, and it's translated into notes and keys and so on. Now, this is in loving memory of Tanya Cohen, and all of these songs were written by you. Is that right? Were they written at specific times, or were you remembering times?
Well, they were. They're from times, but they were thoughts. And while it was an outlet, I still like to say that it was mathematical because I've always hated math and I've always been bad at math. So at least when I say mathematical, they were emotions more than times. Like the piece Breath, that's the first piece on the CD.
Yes.
The official copyright title is Just One More Breath So You Could Hear Us Say How Much We Love You.
Okay.
And that came after, a certain amount of time where I just wanted to say like one more thing. If there was just one more thing, what would it be? So I wrote that tune around solving that problem, or not problem, that emotion that I was going through of I wish I just had one more thing. What could that one more thing be that I could say?
David Cohen, guitarist, performing his song Breath on his newest album, David Cohen Guitar.
The third tune, Every Minute in Paris, there was a point where my wife had said, do you remember when I wasn't like this? This is when she was bedridden.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, of course, we have our whole life. And she said, no, recently. And I said, yeah, Every Minute in Paris. When she was in remission, we went to Paris and we had the most amazing time of our life.
Really?
Every single day was perfect. Everybody was perfect. Everybody was friendly. And it was just a wonderful time.
Every Minute in Paris, David Cohen's homage to a wonderful time in Paris that he spent with his late wife, Tatiana. It's very, very powerful, I would say. You have how many songs on this album?
10.
You have 10, and it's the title of the album is David Cohen Guitar. And how can one get this?
It's available on Amazon. All of the major outlets, CD Baby. CD Baby is the best because they pay the musicians the most.
I like that.
So do I. You could also order it from my website, which is guitarpoint.net.
Okay, so it's David Cohen Guitar. This is your first album.
My first.
Is that right?
Right.
Do you sing at all on that?
No.
Well,
I have to make a living.
Yeah, okay.
I did. One time I was booked someplace and they thought I was somebody else who has a very similar sounding name.
Oh, I see.
And I needed the money, right? And we realized it just as I was about to go on, and they were like, "Well, you're gonna have to, you know, you're gonna have to sing." You know, we told everybody that this was a swing, right? Oh, so I was like, "Okay." So I never sang in my life. I never practiced songs.
But how did it come out?
Horrible. I was booed, but I got paid.
Oh, okay.
And that was, you know, but the key was, they billed the other person, not me. So I really didn't.
So your name wasn't attached
right,
to it.
My name wasn't attached
to it. Oh, see, that's luck.
Right.
See,
so.
Someone was watching over you. You know, when you tell your stories, David, I'm sure anyone who is a musician, certainly people that are striving in any artistic form, understand what you're talking about. Of course, your inspiration was very profound for this particular album. But there's so much that you're doing in addition to your work in music. And I really wanted to touch on that for our audience. And perhaps you can also tell the audience how they can participate in all of your efforts. Where do you want to start? I mean, you have this association with Fox Chase.
Right. With Fox Chase, I call it my unfortunate education, mm-hmm. understanding how the hospital system works. I also say that Fox Chase is the family that I never knew I had that I wish I didn't. They are absolutely amazing there. Through living there a lot, I saw things from a different perspective. And I was often calling people there saying, from a customer's point of view,
yes,
or a patient's point of view, this has to change. Nothing in medical. I mean, this is all hospitality related.
Okay, right.
The medicine, I mean, what they do medically there, I was in awe. And I'm older. I look at a lot of the children, the nurses,
yes,
and even the doctors, and it used to bring me to tears at times. Mm-hmm. And I would just think, these are children, and look at these amazing things
that,
you know, each one of these angels do. From the perspective of hospitality, things needed tweaking. And at the same time as we were there, they were developing their patient and family-centered care program.
And you did a video.
It's the committee. It's all the members of the committee. We got together and we made this video. I'm the one with the camera.
It's called We've Been Through These Doors.
We've Been Through These Doors. And it's a 58-second introduction to what the Patient Family Advisory Council is at Fox Chase. And what we do is, we're all cancer survivors, patients, and we meet with the administrative and medical staff saying, from our perspective, this has to change. And we also... a few of us have gone to conferences, yearly conferences that the Patient Family Centered Care Council puts on. It's a great thing that's going on nationally with hospital care, getting families more involved and getting the doctors to work kinder with people.
Well, or it's just a difficult road to hoe, I guess. But portions of the profits go from the sale of the CD go
right
to the Friends of Fox Chase Cancer
right
Center. That's right. Now, the other thing that you do, which is really quite incredible, is this food bank. How did that start?
For years, I never really spoke about this. But growing up, we were very, very poor. And there were a few times where we needed the assistance of food banks. We didn't know what they were. Apparently, neighbors saw how we were living. And they called one of the food banks in Philadelphia, and they brought us food. And I always remembered that. Even though the food they brought us, we didn't have electricity or gas to cook with, but a neighbor would let us use her stove and or her house when it was really cold. But when I got to a point where I was able to make enough money for myself and buy a little bit extra, at the time I was living in Ocean Grove, and I would go shopping and I would buy a few extra supplies. And at the end of this, you know, when I first moved there and was able to do this, I had called a local food bank. And at the time, it was run by the Sisters of St. Catherine,
yes,
in Spring Lake, New Jersey.
Okay.
And I called them to ask them where I could bring this and what time they were open till, because I had a bunch of food. And the sister said, "We're getting ready to close, but if you're hungry, I'll wait."
Mm-hmm.
And that was just... I mean, that left an impression on me. So I explained to her that I wanted to bring food. But ever since then, I started doing the food bank. The food bank concert.
Now, don't you have, you have a concert that you do. When is that concert? It's yearly, isn't it?
It's yearly. We just had our 10th year anniversary. It's always on the last Saturday in January. And the theme is, you know, the holiday gift giving season is over. Don't forget about the food bank.
So once again, when is that event this year?
It's going to be, we didn't set the date yet because we just, in our heads, we know it's the last Saturday, whatever the last Saturday in January will be.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That makes it easier for us too. We don't have,
sure.
You know,
so it's an annual event, is that right? Right? And where does it take place?
It takes place, we found a new home. This year we had it in the Neptune Arts Center.
Okay, so you're really talking about going up more into the northern part of Jersey.
Yeah, in the nice part of Jersey.
You're in Philadelphia. I'm from the northern part of Jersey originally, so I won't say anything.
Well, so. It's Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and Ocean Grove is a very special place.
Yes, it really is. It's really quite special. And now, do you play at these events?
Yes, I play. I play. I have friends play. I have a singer and guitar player named Joe Weimer, who has been doing this with me for a few years. A drum ensemble called Mzume Carnival, and yeah, and the Shillelaghs this year. I have them come in. I ask them to come in, and they willing. They do it. They come in this year. This year was a 10th year celebration, so I wanted to do it up grand. And the best way to do that is have a bagpipe band.
What do you play? What kinds of music? What are some of the tunes that you play?
Well,
on the bagpipe?
It starts off. It always starts off with me. It starts off with all of us playing together, and before the show starts, I'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, this is the rhythm I'm going to play. Joe, like, here's a melody. Just sing anything to it, mm-hmm. And then the drummers will come in, and it's great. And every year after we do that, I'm like, I wish we recorded it because that was really great.
Well, you had to do that this time.
Yeah.
But we certainly do have this wonderful recording from you, Guitar by David Cohen. And if people want to purchase it,
they can go. They can get it on CD Baby. They can get it through my website.
Which is?
GuitarPoint.net.
Okay, GuitarPoint.net.
Right.
And what a pleasure to have you, David. Well, you have to keep us posted on any of the newest releases. Are you working on more songs to record?
Right. I have a few right now that I'm getting ready to record.
Okay. And you have to let us know.
Absolutely.
And contact us. And once again, it's amazing that in that effort, you find the time to care about so many other people. And I think that's one of the things that I'm so impressed with you. And that was why I wanted you to come and cross over. So I thank you again
thank
for
you
your
very
efforts
much.
And good luck. And we're waiting for your next album.
Thank you very much.